This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Freshlow is a program at the Center for Great Neighborhoods in Covington that offers the opportunity for aspiring chefs to hone their craft and develop their future plans. And joining Cincinnati Edition today to discuss are Freshlow chef manager Terry Heist. Welcome, Terry.
Hi, Michael.
And graduates of the program, Fatima Davenport. She joins us on the phone. Welcome, Fatima.
Hi, guys.
And Monica McCormick is here in the studio. Welcome, Monica.
Thanks for having us.
Questions or comments, call us 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets. So, Terry, tell us about the Freshlow Chef Fellowship Program. What is it?
It is a program out of the Center for Great Neighborhoods in Covington. It is funded by the Kresge Foundation. And this, it is a food entrepreneur program for people with barriers. The focus is healthy, culturally inspired food, but there's a wide range of students. It is open to local residents, native-born people, immigrants, refugees, and we are there to try to open the door to opportunities and possibilities. We do a 10-week curriculum-based portion of it, where we put them in the kitchen, work with professional chefs. We have kitchen logistics information. We have business and financial experts, branding experts. We partner with different food industry experts. We take them to Findlay Kitchen. We take them to other incubator, the Incubator Kitchen Collective in Newport. So we try to expose them to information, have them meet people in the food industry, and also form a community amongst themselves to help them make the next best step, whatever that step is.
So they're learning how to hone their cooking, but also some they're improving their business acumen as well.
Absolutely. We put them and we teach them some professional culinary basics. Like we start with how to use a knife professionally, what's the best way to roast a chicken, how to blanch. We also had an opportunity. We worked with Megan Kitover. She's executive pastry for the Boca Group. She came in and we had a baking class. So we teach them that, and then we have a meet with the health department. Northern Kentucky Health Department comes in and introduces all the regulatory framework that they need.
They love doing that, don't
they? They love it. We do pretty good in making that an interesting class. So we like them to know what the hurdles are out there, but also what the opportunities are in the community.
But Terry, you mentioned that the folks who enroll in the Freshlow program at the Center for Great Neighborhoods face barriers.
Yep.
Can you tell us about what those barriers tend to be?
It's a wide range. We've had students, one was a language barrier, a Syrian refugee who is the most determined businesswoman I may have ever met. And it was the language and the culture. So we were able through this program to have an interpreter come through. And we helped her navigate some of these structures in our culture. We have people who have they've never been in a professional cooking environment, so they don't have any idea where to start. They don't have any financial connections. They haven't been in an entrepreneurial environment. So a lot of them just have no experience on where to start. And so whatever their barrier is, we're like, well, can we help them solve that?
And we do have a couple graduates here. We're going to dive into your stories momentarily to hear about your backgrounds and the obstacles you've had to overcome and what your future plans are now that you've got this. But let's dive a little deeper into the academic side of it. How do these aspiring chefs, professional chefs, Terry, learn about managing the business? You talked about keeping the kitchen clean or learning how to use the knife or roasting a chicken.
Yeah.
But what about QuickBooks and that sort of thing?
Well, I do want to step back with our curriculum and say that this year we developed our own curriculum with the help of Renee Schuler from Eat Well, Celebrations and Feasts, and Justin Dean, Madhouse Vinegar, and a local food consultant. We developed our own curriculum, and we were able to expand it to include some of that financial stuff. So someone like Renee was able to teach them how she actually runs her budget in her kitchen. Some real-world experience. But then we also brought in a food business accountant who discussed financing and discussed QuickBooks and discussed who you really need to hire right off the bat, even if you're starting out. So Yeah, we bring that into them. They're not going to leave our program knowing how to run QuickBooks, but they're going to know that that's something that they need to figure out for their next step.
You've had some local culinary stars as part of this program to come in. You mentioned Justin Dean and Renee Schuler and Megan Keetover from the Boca Group, but you've also had professional kitchen space provided by the folks at Commonwealth Bistro, Pepe Cucina in Covington. You've had the Pickled Pig and Happy Chicks Bakery and Fire Labs. You've had some pretty important local people.
Yeah, we had Christian Gill in, Rachel DeRochers, Julie Keister from Lil's Bagels, Jana, the Happy Chicks company. And I think that's an important part of our program because these are the top-notch people in our region, and I am confident that what they are teaching our students is based on excellent information, excellent experience, and I think it's a wonderful thing that we've been able to get these. I would do want the local food industry has been so generous with their expertise and their time. They've been really supportive of this program, and it's made it successful.
And so you had graduation for this new class just last week.
It was graduation from the curriculum portion. And now we move into the pilot phase where we work with them one-on-one to create a customized specific pilot that they get to test out. And it could be anything from buying equipment to running a restaurant for a weekend to figuring out how to do wholesale packaging and get their labeling. So it could be...
Well, let's talk about the people that make up this class. This is part of the news release you sent out from the center. Our diverse cohort includes an immigrant from Cameroon who envisions opening a full-service event space, two immigrants from Venezuela who each want to start a restaurant, a Filipino who wants to expand his catering business, an Appalachian woman who bakes traditional Appalachian desserts, a young African-American woman who wants to start a juicing business using local produce from black farmers, and another African-American woman who would like to start a food truck serving healthy fusion soul food. So let's talk to the two Fresh Low class members who are here with us today, Monica and Fatima. Let's start with Monica. Tell us what this program has meant to you.
Oh, it's meant so much. I had previously been with Cincinnati Cooks.
And you're the Appalachian.
Right. No, I am the one
that was described in
there. That's correct. Mm-hmm. And I had been with Cincinnati Cooks, and they taught me, you know, how to do industrial cooking. But what do you do after that? And this program has offered so much more. You can learn, you know, things about financial woes that you might have. My idea is I would call this Country Cousins Cravens, and I would want it to be home-based at this time because I'm taking care of my mother. So I was trying to think of a way that I can make money and still stay at home and take care of my family. So I have this idea, but what do you do with it? And when I found out this program was available, it was just a godsend, really.
And Fatima, what about you? What is the program Fresh Low meant to you?
Honestly, the program has meant everything that I've been looking for, from the community of people that I've met to the information that I've gained. You know, I'm a very business-minded person. I like to say about myself, and I've had all these ideas, and I'm like, what do I do with this? Where do I take this? How do I bring this to the people and find the resources that I need, because Google only tells you so much. And Terry and his program fills in the rest of the gaps that you can't find on Google, or that some people like to keep a secret. And that's what I love about the people that we have, because a lot of people, when they reach a certain level, they do not like to share how they got there, or they'll give you half of the way, you know, and this program fills in all those gaps. So it means a lot.
And Fatima, you went through a significant weight loss journey.
Yes, I did. I had gastric bypass surgery my senior year of high school, 2014, and I've lost close to 200 pounds since then. And of course, with the surgery, it makes you have to change your diet. That's the whole point. And it brought me to a whole nother side and realm of food, and I fell in love with the art of food and how the vegetables and the fruits can come together, and even adding herbs to your juices, and how food can become healing. After the surgery, there was a lot of foods that I couldn't eat just because my body doesn't like to digest them, I guess. So juicing has become a life sentence for me, you know, and this program helps me bring it to other people and bring it to the forefront, because I want to make people healthy. I want to heal people through food.
Do you think that some of our communities are at a disadvantage in understanding the right things to eat and the type of foods to avoid?
Yes, definitely. So there's a lot of food deserts. Me personally, I live in Cincinnati, and there's a lot of food desert areas. And so most people in my demographic, you know, young 20s, we eat out of gas stations and McDonald's and things like that. And we'll go there thinking, oh, I'll get a grilled chicken sandwich wrap. That's better. But 9 times out of 10, that chicken, to be blunt, is not real chicken. And it's all these other probiotics and all this other stuff added into it. And I just want to teach people how you can eat healthy and still eat fun and have a balance with it, so you don't feel so sad and depressed. Because like, oh, I got to eat a carrot every day. You know, let's make this carrot into different ways so it's fun to eat, and you can eat something healthy, but it still tastes like dessert, you know. And juicing gets into your system quicker. Your body doesn't have to go through the whole digestion process. It goes straight into your body. And that's the beauty of it.
Monica, you're focusing on Appalachian heritage desserts. Tell us some examples of what that is.
Well, one would be an apple stack cake, a Kentucky apple stack cake. Basically, that's a cake that you do not want to make. It took me 4.5 hours yesterday, 3 pounds of apples.
Did you bring any in?
I didn't. Sorry.
Goodness gracious. Seemed like a missed opportunity.
But basically, the folklore behind it was a wedding cake. And each person would bring like this cake disc to the wedding, and the family would make the filling, and they would stack it on top. And how many people that came to your wedding and loved you was how tall your wedding cake was.
Well, that's cute. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there seems to be a niche market for that, because I'm from Kentucky as well. I'm from the northern part, though, so I've never heard of this thing. So,
right.
So you think that bringing those into the market around here would be worthwhile?
If you Google a hummingbird cake or an apple stack cake, you can't find it around here. Somewhere down in Sevierville, down in Tennessee, you could order one. So, yes, I think it's something that we need to bring the old times back.
What other type of food associated with the Appalachian part of the country do you think we should see more of around here?
Well, I really love sorghum. I mean, sorghum's an excellent...
What is it?
Oh, there's sugar cane, and then there's sorghum cane. And it's like a molasses, but it isn't a molasses. It's an actual sugar-based, it's almost like honey. And you can add it to desserts. The other thing I learned about Kentucky is they have kushaw, which is a gourd. Well, it's not a gourd. It's actually like a pumpkin. And you can make cakes and things from that. There's so many foods that are old and they're new. I mean, everyone needs to be aware of them.
And you live in Covington now. And I understand, like you said, you take care of your mother and she lives in Indiana.
Right.
So you're traveling over there
back
frequently.
And forth.
And then you also work.
I do not work. My full-time job is taking care of my mother.
Okay, so you're taking care of your mom, but you're also taking these courses and developing this plan. How difficult is it to juggle all that while not losing that sense of hope that you have that on the other side of this, you may end up with a business?
Actually, it helps me. It's like, you know, the thing that I turn to when I'm frustrated with being a caretaker. So really making a 4-hour cake was wonderful yesterday. I got to be in my own zone.
And Fatima, what about you? Because in the bio that was provided to us about you, it noted that you come from an environment where no one aspires to be an entrepreneur. So how were you able to find that within yourself?
Honestly, I would just say it's something natural within me. I've always known I wanted more for myself, and I've always known that I wanted to build something that my kids can have for themselves as well. I wanted to build a foundation that I did not have for myself. And that's pretty much where it comes from for me. And I don't have the support, and that's why Fresh Low came in right on time. Just like Monica said, it's almost like a godsend. They built the community that I need, and they give me the push to keep going and know that my dreams are real and it's not something that's unattainable.
So, Fatima, what does this look like ideally for you after this program is over? Is it your own business?
Yes. Ideally, I would like to start in family market or, you know, any food market and get my drinks out there and just get some opinions, build my customer base, and get my branding out there. Hopefully one day you guys can go to Kroger's and pick up some juices and stuff.
What is your branding? Do you have a name?
Yes, MetaPress is actually the name of the brand. Yes.
MetaPress.
Yep.
Now you talked about how your community maybe doesn't eat the healthiest foods. How do your family and friends from that neighborhood respond to your product?
They actually love it. My grandmother, it was one of my main test dummies, is what I call her. She has a lot of health concerns that worry me a lot. And, you know, with diabetes and weight gain and all this stuff, I test everything out on her. And it's funny because she doesn't like anything healthy. I tell my grandma this all the time. You do not like any type of vegetables. You are the most non-healthiest person I know. But when you change the form of the vegetables, you change the aesthetic of it or the look and make it more pleasing to the eye. It's, they eat it, they drink it, and they love it. So I've been getting very good responses, and that's what pushes me even more to, you know, get this out there to people.
And Monica, I think at the beginning of this, you started to visualize what your brick and mortar shop might look like. Tell us what your restaurant would be called and what it might look like if we ever have the opportunity to visit it.
Something similar like Country Cousins something like that. It would be Southern food if I were to have my own restaurant. I always envisioned that Appalachian desserts would be on my menu. That's how I started thinking about it. And, you know, it would be fried chicken, Coushaw pie, cornbread, all the things that people would wait in line for.
And you once participated in a program in Cincinnati before you enrolled in the Fresh Loaf program. What do you think was different for you?
The Cincinnati Cooks. It was Cincinnati Cooks is wonderful. It feeds hungry children throughout the city. I made 30,000 meals in my 10 weeks there for children in the city. But they make you a line cook at the end. And that's wonderful. I did use that. But now I want to do more with the information that I have.
Terry, one of the earlier chefs that came out of the Center for Great Neighborhoods program was Hisako Chako Okawa. We know her as Chako, of course, and she has had a brick-and-mortar space for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. A lot of people may be familiar with her Main Strasse Village location. Is she sort of the prime example of what's possible through the program?
You know, I guess in a way it really was. She was kind of the pilot of this whole program. She was the sole student, and the program was in a completely different form then. And she did a two-day pop-up restaurant at the Center for Great Neighborhoods. And from that experience, she learned that she did not want to have a full-service, you know, three meals a day kind of restaurant. So the lesson she learned from that was she took it and she started a very small lunch-only Japanese-style pastries spot. And since then, she has grown and expanded and just recently relocated to Main Strasse. So I think in many ways it's a fabulous example of the steps you can take to grow into your dream.
So if there are people out there hearing this now thinking, man, I've always wanted to do this. Mm-hmm. I wanted to pursue this. I've had some barriers. Mm-hmm. I meet this criteria. What do they do?
Mm-hmm. Well, first off, what we do is we find additional funding to continue the program. We are wrapping up our second cohort, and Kresge Foundation has been a great partner, and we're currently working on expanding that. We want to continue to build our partnerships in the community with all the food industry and extend this curriculum that I think is wonderful that we developed. And then after that, they would email me at Terry, T-E-R-I, at greatneighborhoods.org. Let me know that you're interested, and I will put you in the list of one of the first to contact when we open up our next cohort.
Well, I will look forward to a nice tall glass from MetaPress and maybe some stacked apple cake from Country Cousins sometime down the road. So our thanks to our guests today, Fresh Loaf Chef Manager Terry Heist, and the graduates of the Fresh Loaf Program, Fatima Davenport and Monica McCormick. Thanks to all of you for joining us.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder, and the technical director is Josh Elstro. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.